And so I'm delighted to be with you all again. As Pastor Edwin said, I'm Chris. I pastor a church in Harrisonburg, but this is a home church for me as well. So y'all don't mind if I act like I'm at home a little bit, do you? And so we're excited to be here for what God has. You all are in a series called Make It Count. Everybody shout, Make It Count. And in this series, it's a stewardship series to help us see how we can make our generosity count before the Lord. And so I want to contribute to that series by preaching from 2 Corinthians chapter 9. That's going to be my focal text today, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we're going to read verses 6 through 11. Verses 6 through 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 through 11. I don't know what the tradition is per se, but at my church, we have this thing. We say participation is better than observation. Thank you. So participation is better than observation. So I'm going to ask that you rise to your feet as we read the word of God. We're going to read it in honor of God. And then you can brag to all your friends that you participated in the sermon at least once. Okay, you can tell that I went to church and I was in there preaching. And so you can brag about that, but we really stand in honor of the reading of the word of God. You think about when a judge walks into a courtroom, people stand. When royalty walks into a room, people stand. When the president walks in, people salute. And the word of God is holy, is pure, is divine. And so when we read it, we should come with more reverence. Amen. I'm going to read out loud. You follow along silently. The point is this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, since God loves a what kind of giver?
Cheerful
giver. Let's keep going. Verse 8, and God is able to make, come on somebody, every, I just saw, hold on. God is able to make what? Every grace overflow to you so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. As it is written, he distributed freely. He gave to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. Now, the one who provides seed for the sower and bread for food will also provide and multiply your seed and increase the harvest of your righteousness. You will be enriched in every way for all generosity, which produces thanksgiving to God through us. Let's go back to verse 8 one more time. I like to use this as a focal. It says, and God is able. Somebody shout, he's able.
He's able.
God is able to make every grace overflow to you. So that in every way, always having everything. Hear all of those absolutes. Every grace, every way, everything. You may excel in every good work. And right there, I believe there's so much truth in that. So my hope is to be able to unpack the context around this. I want to use for a title, topic, subject, and focus to go along with your Make It Count series. Count on God. Look at your neighbor. Look at somebody that you have not spoken to and say, count on God. All right. Now look at your second favorite neighbor and tell them, count on God.
Count on God.
Amen. You may be seated. Count on God. Amen. As we jump into this, let us have a moment of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to be here together. Lord, we pray now, Lord, that you will speak to our hearts. Do something in us that could not have been done anywhere else. God, give us a new sense of purpose, a new sense of peace, peace that surpasses all understanding. God, I pray that every place we are troubled, may your joy invade that place and give us joy unspeakable. God, I pray for places we are broken. May your grace make us whole. Place we are hurting. May your presence begin to bring healing. Places where we are in bondage, I pray for freedom. Places where we are unclear, I pray for clarity. Lord, do something in this place that would let us know that we did not just attend church on October 13th, but we had an encounter with you. God, I pray for transformation today. I pray, Lord, that when we leave this place, we will be so transformed by your presence that we can't help but be agents of transformation everywhere else we go. So, Father, don't only do a work in us, But Lord, we also ask that you will prepare to do a work through us. God, we thank you. We honor you. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Count on God. Many of us know Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. It's one of those favorite scriptures. People go to it and they begin to look at it like it's the one that you go to make decisions. Proverbs 3:5 says like this. It says, lean not unto your own understanding, but acknowledge him in all of your ways. So basically it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Everybody say all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely or lean on your own understanding. Verse 6 will say it like this. I don't have this on the screen, but it says, then he would direct your path. So either he would make your pathway straight. Verse 7 would then tell us that don't be wise in your own eyes. Now, see, the Bible was dropping bars long before people started mumble rapping. Don't be wise in your own. Right? And so don't be wise in your own eyes. So it's telling us, start with verse 5. Verse 5 is not the complete part of chapter 3, but it's a key turning point to say that I'm about to give you wisdom of what it looks like to trust in God with all your heart. Oftentimes we are given inspirational quotes, but not instructions in order to follow the inspiration. And so in other words, I can say, trust in the Lord with all your heart, but you trusting in God and me trusting in God might look like two different things. And so when they look so different, I'm now asking God, what does it look like to trust in you? And so Proverbs continues to say, when you trust in him, he's going to order your steps. When you trust in him, you won't be wise in your own eyes. Verse 8 would say, when you trust in him, this would be healing to your bones. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. I love these absolutes. Jesus even says, they came to him, they said, what is the most important law of them all? What's the most important law out of all 400 and some odd laws? What's the most important one, Jesus? What is the most important law? We're trying to figure this thing out. What you got? Jesus says, hang all the laws of the prophets on this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. Everybody say all. Now look, if I could be honest with y'all, because you know, I'm not at my own church, so I can be a little bit more vulnerable with y'all, because you know, I don't want people to think that the pastor tripping. And there's certain scriptures that I got a little trouble with, okay? It's not that it's not true, it's not that it's not infallible, it's just that I got a little trouble with it. Now Proverbs 3:5 is one of them. And Jesus' great command is another. Here's my trouble with it. All. That part messed me up. Y'all messed it. That part messed me up. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. See, here's the thing. I'm good with some of it. But to trust him with all, which means I have to live with reckless abandonment of what my preference is. Trust in the Lord with all my heart, which means I am daily giving up my privilege to own something. Trust the Lord with all my heart is saying, God, I'm going to give you my heart, and then you will distribute my heart how you want my heart to be distributed. That was good by itself. Because when he says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, understand, oftentimes we'll love other things with our heart. And so when we're trying to give God all our heart, we have other things competing with God. And you're a good Christian. But we got things competing all the time. And when I realized what he was saying is, I am a better steward of your heart than you are. Come on, Jeremiah 17:9 says, above all things, the heart is deceitful. How many people have stood and said marriage vows just to go back on them because in their heart they thought they had it, but they gave a person their heart versus giving God their heart first. And so God says, give me your heart and I will teach you how to love. See, he said that long before Weezy said, show me how to love, right? God is saying in this moment, trust in me with all. Everybody say all. But see, verse 9. See, I gave you Proverbs 3, verse 6. He'll direct your paths. Verse 7, don't be wise in your own eyes. Verse 8, it'll be healing to your bones. Verse 9, then he says this. Now, in order for me to trust the Lord with all my heart, this means that this is what it looks like for me to trust in the Lord with all my heart. Honor the Lord with your possessions. And Y'all get that? It's not just one thing. And with the first produce of your entire harvest. He's saying, if you trust me, I should be a priority. If you trust me, there should be a pattern of reverence and there should be a priority of generosity. And this is what I realized is this, okay? Your heart and your harvest are directly connected. That if you're, he's saying that if you trusted me with your heart, I would be able to help you with your harvest. Because after verse 9 and verse 10, he says this. He says, then your barns will be filled and your vats will overflow. That if I trust in you with all my heart, then you will give me an overflowing blessing. And so your heart and your harvest are directly connected. Hence, Jesus will tell us then in Matthew chapter 6, verse 21, he will say, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Okay. I'm going to say it like this, okay. Middle school phys ed, when they got to start talking about the body, and you know, they got to talk about sex ed. Y'all with me? I'm trying to keep it Pixar for us, okay. Right. So they start talking about that, birds and bees, okay? About to talk about how you got here, you know? I'm about to help you understand what happens when you get that feeling, okay? Y'all with me? If y'all with me, just shake your head. Y'all ain't never heard of Marvin Gaye. Some of y'all here because of that. sorry. I was about to say between, but then Asley Brothers, and it was just going to keep going back. So here's the thing. So you know, when you're in the class, they have to say certain private words. And you know, people get a little giggly when they hear certain private words. Y'all know, and y'all with me? I'm trying not to say it. I'm trying to be a good preacher. Okay. And so when they say certain private words, they'll be, she say it. Like, you know what I'm saying? That's how the kids act. Oh, I can't believe that's how. Right, they're going to say, right. So look, okay, I'm going to tell you. Look, so I'm going to say a word. I'm going to say a word in the church that you know, kind of do something to us, all right? All right. I'm going to say it because if I say it now, we're going to be able to keep on going, okay? All right, here's the word, all right? Money. Yeah. So, okay, look, somebody passed out. I said money. They just strung up like on Lord of the Rings. Oh, my precious ring. Like money. Okay, so I'm going to say it again. Because oftentimes, here it is, in church, church folk, we don't like to talk about certain stuff that we want. See, in church, here's the thing. People come to church, but everybody want more money, more sex, and more power. But don't nobody like to talk about it in church. So then we go to the stars to watch power and see what ghosts gonna give us, right? And so now we up here with Lucius trying to, instead of the Lion of Judah, we here with Lucius Lion trying to build an empire, right? And so now we got a Tower of Babel because people mumble rapping, you know? But again, so I don't know why I'm gonna mumble rap, but and so, all right, so here it is. When we get that out there, because if we are afraid to talk about those subjects, money, power, and sex in the church, then we're gonna allow the world to influence us and tell us how important it is. Right? See, I grew up in hip hop a little bit, and there was this one song about Wu-Tang Clan, not the one with the curse word, but they said this, cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. Right? First service wanted to save this, y'all. Y'all like, I never heard of that song. All I listen to is Kirk Franklin. Oh, yes, right, and Hillsong. I'm sorry, Elevation Worship. No, this is a good going. So this song, Cash Rules Everything Around Me, Cream, Get the Money, Dollar Bill, y'all, right? So oftentimes in the world, this is what we hear, and it's been generations of people talking about money, getting paid on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, getting paid. Now, I'm just going multi-generational with the cream. Yeah, you hear what I'm saying? And so there is a lot of value placed on material things, and so when we start talking about it in church, we have secular defenses that rises against spiritual truth. Listen, I ain't got to be here next week, but listen, we have secular defenses that rise against the spiritual truth, and so by the time somebody give you truth, you offended. Yeah. Truth was not meant to be comfortable. Truth was meant to get you right. Yeah. Right? So surgery don't feel good, but surgery helps you in the long run. And so when it comes to the subject of money in the church, I recognize, and now, matter of fact, even if I was to poll the crowd, let me do this. How many of you all have heard money talked about wrong in church? Raise your hand, yep. How many of y'all have heard the stereotype, it's all about money in the church? Mm-hmm. How many of y'all are afraid to talk about money openly to somebody else? Anybody else? Uh-huh. Okay. See, the thing is, money begins to shut us down. Men process money like women process intimacy. Wow. Yeah. See, for the woman, the act, I'm keeping it Pixar, the act of connecting with the husband is not so much about the physical act. It's about the emotional intimacy that allows us to connect. There's a lot of emotion that's included in all of that, so it's not the actual action. So it takes a woman a whole lot more than friction for her to actually say, this was a cool moment. Are y'all with me? Yeah. For the man, money has an emotional attachment. That see, people don't like for you to talk about certain things. Don't talk about my body and don't talk about my money unless you're giving me a compliment. Right? Somebody, and I'm telling you, every now and then you need a friend to lie to you. What are you doing? You losing weight? You know you bloated, but they said it made you feel good, right? You don't want the person like, oh, you getting fat. You just getting fat. Don't you talk about my body like that. I put my fat hands on you. Don't play with me. And we don't like people to talk about our money unless they say, you balling. And you're like, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Y'all make it rain for Jesus, you know what I'm saying? This is what I do, you know what I'm saying? Blessings on blessings. Like, but we don't like for people to invade that moment. We don't want people to direct that because it's a private matter. The thing is, though, some of our private matters have set up empires in our hearts, and it's difficult for the Lord to be the King of Kings in our hearts. It's difficult for the Lord to be over our hearts because we got other little L lords, other little K kings that's ruling us. And so now here it is, Paul is writing to the Corinthian church, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, and I love how he puts it in the NLT. He says, I really don't need to write to you about this ministry of giving for the believers in Jerusalem. And he's almost saying this is 2 Corinthians that he's writing, which means he's already wrote 1 Corinthians. So he's saying, he's almost witty. I shouldn't have to, come on, y'all, for real. We got to talk about this again. We already wrote to y'all about this. And so he's almost like, I really shouldn't have to talk to y'all about this, but we're here now. Let's go ahead and talk. And so Dean says, for I know how eager you are to help. I have been boasting to the churches in Macedonia that you in Greece were ready to send offering a year ago. In fact, it was your enthusiasm that stirred up many of the Macedonian believers to begin giving. See, the church in Jerusalem was going through a rough time. Jerusalem was like the epicenter of the birth of the church. On the day of Pentecost, that's where 2,000 people got baptized and the Holy Ghost hit and 2,000 people got baptized. It was in Acts 4 in Jerusalem, where 3,000 were added to the church, and the Lord was adding to the church daily. And so they were sending out resources across the known world, and they had hit a financial hardship. So all the churches that they had blessed, Paul was now advocating that they should give back based on the generosity that Jerusalem had given to them. Somebody say amen. And so in that moment, Paul is like, man, the Corinthian church, they were wild. They were out there. And they were like, man, we'll give. And you ever said something excited and you committed to it before you knew all of what was entailed in it? Yeah. It's like certain people I don't like to go work out with. I'm like, oh, let's go work out. And they're like, yeah, let's go work out. And then the first exercise, I'm like, hold on. Now, I ain't know you're going to start off right there. You kind of messed me up. Like, there's like, this is just a warm up. I remember I was working out with a guy. I like to work out with younger guys because I need to let them know. You know what I'm saying? I still got it. Like, but I was working out one guy, and the warm up almost had me calling Earl. Y'all know who Earl is? Earl is when you get over that track. Earl, that's Earl, right? And so I said, man, just the warm up has messed me up already. And so what Paul is saying, that y'all have been zealous to make the commitment, now you have to follow through with the commitment. See, this is what Paul was helping them understand, that so often we count on our money rather than we count on God. But when you count on God, you can make everything that you have count. Let me take that. All right? So again, here, sometimes we count on our money more than we count on God. But when you count on God, you can make everything that you have count. And so now what we find is that Paul is saying this ministry of giving. I love how it says it in NLT, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 1. This ministry of giving. Most of the time when people say, I got a calling to ministry, they don't say, oh, I got a calling to give. They think, oh, I got a calling to preach. I got a calling to sing. I got a calling to be on the platform. But the ministry of giving was saying, the best way you can serve is give. And so the mark of a mature church, the mark of a growing church, the mark of a mature Christian, the mark of a growing Christian is generosity. Yeah, because if you speak in tongues, if you sing with the best of them, if you preach with the best of them, but you're not generous yet, you have missed the heart of God. And so Paul is saying, listen, I want y'all to understand that concerning this ministry of giving, don't you just count your money, make your money count on God. Why is money so important? If you notice, if you take the subjects of prayer and faith, by Jesus. Like Jesus, he talked more about money than he did prayer and faith combined. 11 of his 40 parables were about money or either using money to reveal spiritual truths. And so it began to make me think, because Jesus knew how you handle your money is how you relate with your God. A misunderstanding of God will cause you to have a misunderstanding of your money. Loving your money too much is going to cause you to love God less. Matthew 6:24, he says, you can't serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other. That you can't serve both money and God. And so what I realize is what Paul was showing them, this ministry of giving reveals this to us. Here's my first point. Money is a servant. Everybody say serve. Money is a servant. It's not, you know, people be like, you know, they get to gifts. You got five love languages. One love language is words of affirmation. Another love language is quality time. Another love language is acts of service. Another love language is, gift of touch, physical touch. And then another one's gifts. Now, I saved the best for last. Gifts. That's my love language. I like to give gifts. I really like to get gifts. I'm a cheerful giver, but I'm a cheerful receiver too. All right, me and my wife, we got to understand him. I mean, she blowing it out the park, man. She get me gifts. I just, girl, what you want? I can get you everything. Take the Target card and have fun. Right? So gifts is a love language. Because when I get, I begin to recognize what's happening. But I love to be able to give as well. But money is a service. Money is a servant. And so when we talk about gifts, for me, y'all ever heard it's the thought that counts? No, it ain't. No, it ain't. It ain't. They don't put thoughts on sale on Black Friday. Come on. I'm about to help somebody Christmas, right? Ain't the thought that count. Don't nobody look at their bank account and count the thoughts. I thought I had $1 million. I thought I should be richer. Well, guess what? That overdraft don't care what you thought. Come on, somebody, right? It ain't the thought that count. No, it's the money that count. It's the material. That counts. I ain't saying that it counts everything, but that counts. You know, I thought about getting you a Dodge Hellcat Challenger. And you ain't do nothing with that? But don't tell me you thought about it. Now I feel like I'm missing out on something. The thought messed me up. Now I'm mad. Right? So it's not the thought that counts. It's the action that counts. Let me give you some Bible. Okay. Faith. Boy, you've been teaching, Pastor Edward. Faith without works is dead as a doorknob. Got all the faith. You ain't putting in no works. I believe God gonna do something. The way I know you believe is not your thoughts, it's your actions. So Paul is saying, y'all been thinking about giving to the Corinthian church. Y'all been thinking about giving. We here. Y'all ain't got y'all check. That's what he said. That's what he said. Because he's like, now look, don't let it be an embarrassment for when they come to pick it up. I'm all in context. Go back and read it for your own homework. He says, when they come to get the offering, don't embarrass us. I've been bragging about you. This is Paul as a dad. Look, when they come there, make sure your house clean now. Act like I raised you. And so in this moment, he's saying, listen, this ministry of giving, Paul brags about the Macedonian church, because the Corinthian church said, oh yeah, we're going to give to the Jerusalem church. And so Paul was telling the Macedonian church, this small church plant, he was telling them, man, the church of Corinth, they're going to give to Jerusalem. And so the Macedonians, they were like, you know what? Yup, we're going to give too. And here's the thing. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Look at their situation. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, starting at verse 1. This is what they said. Starting at verse 2. It says, during a severe trial, this is the Macedonian church, during a severe trial brought about by affliction, their abundant joy, whoa, is that what it says, Pastor Edwin? Because that don't look like it go together for me. It says severe trial, abundant joy. Yeah, that's what it said. Brought by affliction. Their abundant joy and their extreme poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. Hold on. Lawrence, listen, I've known you for a few years, dog. I can talk to you. Some of these people, they don't know how I get down. Listen, when I'm going through, I ain't always got what they say, abundant joy. That's not always how I feel when I wake up on the wrong side of the bed. That ain't how I feel when I'm going through affliction, abundant joy. And listen, when I'm broke, I don't feel, come on, y'all, I don't feel a wealth of generosity. Now, understand the reason why people do not give, the reason why people are not generous, is fear, it's ignorance, and it's also lack of resources. There are three reasons. The Macedonian church had all three reasons. They didn't know how things were going to work out, but they worked in antonyms to their problems. I want to help somebody. Well, you got to learn their faith is meant to be an antonym to your problem. Y'all take English? Okay. A synonym means it's going to be similar. That's another way to say it. When I have a problem, my faith needs to work the opposite. So when I am in severe trial, my faith got to say abundant. When I'm in extreme poverty, my faith got to say I'm wealthy. See, I'm beginning to understand it's not about the amount. It's about the posture of the heart. Let's keep going. Verse 3. He says, I can testify that according to their ability and even beyond, they even begin to sacrifice beyond their ability of their own accord. Here we go. Keep going. They begged us earnestly for the privilege. They begged us for the privilege to share in the ministry. I'm going to preach verse 4 in my church coming up because this part rocked me. They begged for it. They didn't ask for somebody to give them something. They look, put me in the game, coach. Let me get a part of this. God, you're doing something great. I don't want to miss it. I don't know what I got, but I might have a nickel. I might have a penny. I might have an allowance. I might have a bonus. I might have a paycheck. I might have a tax return. I don't care. But look, I need to. Put me in. Most people beg to get something. The kingdom is upside down. We should beg to give something. Should be looking for it. And so he says, verse 5, he says this, and he says, and not just as we had hoped, instead, this is why they could do it. They gave themselves first to the Lord, then to us by God's will. That God says, give yourself first to me, then you give yourself to the local church. By my will. That's his will. It's funny how people can say, yeah, I give myself to God, but they don't give themselves to the church. Here's the thing. The church is the bride of Christ. It's very difficult for you to love me and not love Sherelle. That's my wife. The two are one. And so he's saying that the Macedonian church in extreme poverty in all of this, all of the affliction and all of the problems that they were facing, they begged earnestly to participate. Participation is better than observation. When will we be a people that begs to be a part of the generosity of the kingdom? Because the kingdom is marked by generosity. Everything about God is giving. He created the entire creation to float on the axis of giving. The sun gives heat. The moon gives light. The water gives life to the sea. The grass gives place for the seed to grow. He made it on the axis that everything should be giving. And so now when everything is giving, it can all work together. And when one is giving more than the other, we begin to have an ozone issue. Y'all are missing it today. That when one begins to lack, there's something else begins to happen. That when the sun stays up a little bit too long, the polar ice caps begin to melt, which then begins to cause flooding, which then begins to cause endangered species, which then messes with natural resources. And now we broke on this side because we didn't see that side because something wasn't giving. Y'all got to understand. He said all of creation testifies of who I am. And so the wind blows so the tree can know that God is there. Y'all with me? You see what I'm saying? Because everything is giving. He says, just as the rain and the snow comes down from heaven, it does not return there without accomplishing what he sent it to accomplish. He says, so my word is like that, that when it comes down, it hits the ground to grow something. The water comes down to help the seed sprout and give life. That he created all of creation. The problem that many of us face, here's a practical part, is that we live with the scarcity mindset. Scarcity versus abundance. Scarcity versus abundance. Or either poverty mindset versus an abundant mindset. And this is what it looks like. Scarcity is marked by consumption, is marked by comparison, and it's marked by clenching. Scarcity, consumption. You get, you go ahead and you eat it all right then because you don't know when the next time you're going to get it. This is how people get there. We have a saying, you plan with your rent money. You got real priorities, but you want to buy something to make you feel better. That's consumption. Consumption is, instead of you planting a seed to get an apple tree, you rather just eat that one seed and try to be satisfied by it. Consumption. You eating the seed instead of planting the seed. Y'all with me? Consumption is all about what I can get, and people just want to get. Comparison is if you look at the world as there is one pie. So when I see you with a piece of pie, and there's only one pie, I'm beginning to think you got my pie. So this is how people get jealous over stuff that they don't even want. Don't even talk about you. You know that friend that get jealous over stuff that people don't even that they don't even want. It's like somebody get a job promotion in a place that you don't even want to work at. And you're like, man, why they get the job promotion? Now you're just mad they got to come up. And so now you're jealous over something you don't even, because you're thinking their blessing took away from your blessing. So it's difficult for me to see you blessed because when I see you blessed, it makes me feel less. Bars. Right? And so in this moment, what he's saying, we got to switch from the scarcity mindset of just clenching things. For when it gets tight, we begin to clench. The problem with clenching is nothing can go out and nothing can come in. And so you start clenching. The scarcity mindset begins to count on your money rather than count on God. Y'all with me? And so the abundant mindset is not about how much you have. It's about how you use what you have. The abundant mindset looks at your resources as something you can multiply, and you begin to ask this question, how can I honor God and maximize what I have? That's the abundant mindset. Let me make this proclamation over you. We live in abundance, and I want you to make that personal. Repeat after me. I live in abundance. Somebody didn't say it yet. I don't want you to get there after church and start living in life. Somebody shouted, I live. In abundance. It's not about how much you have. It's about how you use what you have. And so then Paul continues as he's talking to them. He recognized that when we honor God with our money, we realize that money is a servant. And then we also realize that money is a seed. That's point number two. If you're taking notes, if you're tweeting, if you're TikToking, or if you're Instagramming, y'all know, see, the old people only know Facebook. Young folks be on Snapchat and TikTok. And then, like, IG is the medium. Anyway, just gave y'all social media one. That was free. And so he says money is not only a servant, but money is also a seed. Here it is, verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. He says, the point is this. That blessed me. You want to know why that blessed me? In school, I wasn't always the smartest. I still ain't the smartest now. And sometimes I got to read too much stuff and then be like, write a paper on it. The problem is I read the whole book and I still don't know what they're talking about. Anybody else know what I'm talking about? You know, I just need somebody to go ahead and dumb it down for me. Like, I need every book for dummies, you know? I like that. So Paul's like, look, I know I've been saying a whole lot. I know this is 2 Corinthians. This is the second letter. I know I've been saying a lot. So this is what I want. Okay. Just in case y'all forget. The point is this. See, he helped me out right there. He let me know, I know you're not that smart. Not smart. Y'all see how to, smart. You is smart. You is kind. You is important. Right. But the point is this. All right, the point is this, y'all. This is Paul having a conversation. The point is this. The person who sows sparingly will also reap. The person who sows generously will also reap. Like verse 7, and it says, each person should do as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or out of compulsion, which means I don't want to extort you. I don't want to force you. But God loves a cheerful giver. Let's go back to verse 6. He breaks it down. The point is this, the law of reciprocity. The law of reciprocity, the farmer's law, you will reap what you what? Sow. Yeah. Galatians chapter 6 says it like this. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You will reap what you sow. If you sow in the flesh, you're going to reap in the flesh. Sow in the spirit, you're going to reap in the spirit. Look, I know we've been talking a lot about money. Let me get off money for a second and let me help your life. If you are sowing sneaky, conniving, nasty, you're going to reap sneaky, conniving, and nasty. Uh-huh. See, in my church, I just get a little real because people be trying, they be looking good from afar, but they far from looking good. They done put on their good Sunday church, but they nasty behind closed doors. It's going to come out. It's just like liquor. Y'all know sin is just like liquor. You put enough in it, you sweat long enough, people going to smell it. Yeah. They ain't been around, they ain't been around real alcoholics. They come around, did you just, what you, zero proof? You just got a new cologne, zero proof. Look at you, just sweating out. So the thing is, if you sow in the flesh, if you sow greed, lust, jealousy, fear, you're going to reap that. So is it safe to say, Pastor Edwin, that I can predict my own future? Yeah. Because what I sow is what I'm going to see. And if you don't like your harvest, you got to change your seed. Damn, y'all so good, church. Most of the time, we want to change our harvest without changing the seed. And so we asking God to give us a miracle when he gave us a method. My God. We want God to be the way maker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. He's saying, I gave you a method that you can see my way making. Because even when you plant a seed, something miraculous happens while it's in the ground. You can't make the seed grow. One plant, another waters. God brings the increase. And so he's saying, I gave you a method. You will reap what you sow. If you sow sparingly, you will reap what? Sparingly. If you sow generously, you shall reap. See, when I start getting this concept, you got to understand, it went far beyond tithing to me. See, tithing, 10%, you know, that's what we hear. And some people are like, yeah, we don't talk about 10%. I talk about 10% because I need a marker. And the Bible says, if you don't, you curse with a curse. That's what the Bible says. That's not really gray. People are like, well, it's in the Old Testament. He never changed it. He didn't get to the New Testament and say, don't tithe. He commended the Pharisees for tithing. And so when I've been tithing as long as I've been saved. I had a work study check. I get $150, not $150. I get $150. And I sold tithe 15. Every time I got, so it's been ingrained in me. And the thing is, what I recognize is when you begin to sow in different directions, y'all ready for this? When I begin to sow here, 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 and here. When the harvest comes, where does it come from? Here, 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 and here. Which means if you only sow in one place and you don't sow that much, you're not going to get that much. See, I like to sow everywhere. I like to look at people. I keep seed money on me. I keep a $20 bill just so every now and then I need to get somebody to cool that. Boom, love you. Go ahead, hold on to that real quick. Because however God want to bless me, I ain't trying to hold them up. Y'all with me? If you want to see more, you got to sow more. Because God loves a cheerful giver. I'm not giving just so I can get. I'm giving because I recognize what he's given me. And when I recognize what he's given me, I can't help but give it to somebody else. I want people to have joy. I want people to be able to say, man, that blessed me. Because the way I have received, I would be robbing God if I didn't give. How can a man rob God? his tithes and his offerings. I'm telling you, the reason why Jesus kept on talking about money, because he knew if I look at your heart long enough, I'd be able to see you. If I look at your money long enough, I'd be able to see your heart. You got to get into that place of recognizing, okay, I need to change something. Money is a seed. That thing, Pastor Edwin, that I get about a seed is that I can count a seed, but I can't count how many apples in that seed. I can open up an apple and count the seeds in the apple, but I can't count how many apples are in that seed. So your seed, oh my gosh, your seed is smaller than your harvest. So even when you don't have that much, he's saying, keep on sowing. The woman that he gave the big shout out to, she gave one mite. He said, who gave the most? She did it. Because she gave sacrificially. I tell my church like this, we give cigs, not cigarettes. Don't get too excited. Don't get your nicotine patch. Don't take that off. We give cigs. We give cheerfully. We give intentionally. We give generously. And we give sacrificially. We give cheerfully. We give intentionally. We give generously. We give sacrificially. Cheerfully, this means we have joy. I believe that when offering comes around, that should be a joy, that should be a praise break. Yep. That should be a praise break. I should, because you should be thinking about what he gave to you. And we give intentionally. And when we say intentionally, some stuff you need to set up on automatic withdrawal. Amen. Right? We don't do automatic because we want to see it. We want to intentionally, but we know when we get paid, the first thing we do is we tithe off the gross. Because I want to receive off the gross. I'm meddling with y'all a little bit, but I want you to think. But then intentionally, we had a building campaign, and so we made a pledge early in the year to sow what we did not have. Y'all see, when you make a plan to sow what you don't have, it says also in this text, it says also in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that he will give seed to the sower. I'm trying not to lose it. He gives seed to the sower. I heard testimony after testimony. People made pledges to honor God with their money, and people started getting jobs. Because, literally, one person, they said they made a pledge, and it was something crazy. And I was like, I don't know how we're going to do 15K. Yeah, that's 1 year. Then they got a job that gave them 30K beyond what they had. Versus them saying, oh, no, I'm going to get the big body Benz with the V12 motor. No, they ain't say that. They said, now we can make the pledge. Amen. God gives seed to the sower. Yeah. The reason why some of us can't get multiplied blessings is because you can't handle it. You can't handle it. If God gave you more, you're going to be more of a thief. You hear me? So until he can trust you, he can't increase you. But the more he can trust you, the more he can increase you. It's all throughout the Bible. You've been faithful over little. Now here's a lot. When you recognize money as a seed, you now don't look at giving as an obligation, but as an opportunity. And sometimes you got to give sacrificially. Sometimes it's not going to feel good. But you know, based on truth, sometimes truth don't feel good. We give sacrificially. I love when we give. Sometimes we got to go in our account and start transferring stuff. Y'all, can I be real with y'all? I love when they say, well, let me take it from this account, take it from this, boom, 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 because we got to give this seed. Do you got to see, family, I've seen God move in ways that say it's going to be all right. It's going to be good. And it took me a long time to be able to talk about money because I was afraid. It was an idol. It was holding me back. I was living in scarcity. But when I recognize when freedom is poured out, freedom is not just poured out on one area of your life. Freedom is poured out in every area of your life. So whom the Son sets free, come on somebody, is free indeed. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And if I'm going to be free with my money somewhere, I'd rather be free in front of Jesus instead of just free for some J's. Y'all with me? I don't need to go out to eat. He the bread of life. I'd rather give to that. I don't need Apple Music. He is my song. I don't need this. I need him. So I gave based on what I needed. I needed more of him. And so I decrease every time I give so he can increase. And so then as I continue to look, money is not only a servant. Money is a seed, because money is not the source. I'm going to close with this. Money is a servant. Money is a seed. But what Paul's communicating to them, that money is not the source. If you heard all of this and you thought money was the source and you thought it was all about money, you got some other issues. I'm going to go ahead and call you out now. If you say, man, all they talk about is money, I'm talking about your heart. God wants more than your money. He don't need your money. He don't need paper that we printed and added value to. What he's saying is that money, that paper you printed, is pulling on your heart, and I need you to keep on giving me your heart. Yeah. It's very difficult to give God your money when you have not given him your heart. Yeah. Most people who have a problem with rules, they have a problem with the ruler. And so then we complain about the rules. No, if you are in love with the ruler, the rule is a privilege. The Ten Commandments were not given as commandments to be accepted. Lords, the Ten Commandments were given because they were accepted. So the rules we find in the Bible, he gives it to us because you are mine. These are house rules. We got two kids and one in the womb. Chip and Chloe, they know when they're in our house, there's certain things we don't do. And they don't have to follow those rules to be considered my kids. They follow those rules because they are my kids. It's relationship first. That's what he's saying. And so then when he gets to this thing, money is not the source. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8. He says, God is able. God is able to make every grace overflow to you so that every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. Those first four words, and God is able. Man, if I was at a Pentecostal church and people used to get up and run right now, you would have had to get on the keys. You'd have been on the bass because people would have got, God is able. Some of y'all need to go home and just start saying God is able. Some of y'all need to look at your bank account and say God is able. You need to look at your spouse and say God is able. You need to look at your family and say God is able. Because when God is able, the enemy is disabled. Come on, family. The victory is in his ability. I'm not capable, but he is. If God is for me, then who can be against me? I'm more than a conqueror because God is able. That statement is what kept Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. He says, bow down before this golden image. Bow down before this material gain. Bow down before this idol. Bow down before the square footage of this house. Bow down before the desire for this new car. Bow down before. They said, no, we will not. If you don't, you can get tossed in the fiery furnace. They said, man. When they looked at each other, bro, I ain't bowing. You bowing, nope. You bowing, nope. Nebuchadnezzar, just like Family Feud, survey says, God is able. My God. God is able. And even if he don't, I still won't bow down. But the truth was, I knew he was able. And what happened when they put him in the fiery furnace? They tied him up. They tossed him in the fiery furnace. And then the servant looked in the furnace and said, Nebuchadnezzar, we got an issue. Then we put three in there. But now we see four walking around. Family, I ain't even come to preach this text. But now we see four walking around. You missed it. They tied them up, tossed them in the fire. He looked in. Not only was it three of them, not only now is it four, but they were walking around. My God. You can be free and still in the fire. Why? Because he's able. He's not just able at a distance. They said the fourth one was in the image of the Son of God. I love it. Because he was showing us he's Emmanuel in the Old Testament. He's God with you. He was showing them, yea, though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you fear no evil. Why? Because I'm with you. And so he's saying, I am able. If you believe I'm able in the fire, you believe I'm able in the finances, you believe I'm able in the family, you believe I'm able in the city, he is able. Somebody shout God a praise. And this is the last thing, family. Money is not the source. Money is a servant. Money is a seed. The whole axis of how we got saved. Giving is the basis of our deliverance. Giving is the basis of our salvation. God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. But he wanted us to see the law of reciprocity, mama. And so he said, the seed must be planted. So then Jesus tells the Pharisees, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot multiply. He was already telling us that he was a seed. See, he says, because I'm a seed, he says, when I die, you're going to multiply. Y'all with me yet? So Jesus was the seed that we now get to be born of. This is why Peter says, you're not born of Abraham's seed. You're born of an incorruptible seed, which is Jesus. The people didn't know what to do with that seed. They mismanaged the stewardship of the miracle. And so they hung the seed on the cross. They thought that's what you do with the seed. You hang it up. They forgot he was the word. So when you hang a word up on a high beam, you just created a sign. Now they made a blood poster. But they didn't know what to do with the seed. So then they took that seed and they put it in the ground. See, that's where they messed up. What they thought was going to defeat him was actually the catalyst of what was going to make him miraculous. They forgot he was a seed, so instead of them thinking they buried him, they planted him. Uh-huh. Theologians would tell us the blood of the martyr is the seed of the church. So the moment in time his blood touched the ground, that began to be a seed that was planted. When they put him in the grave, understand the seed is smaller than the harvest. They put one man in the grave. But when he rose, he said the Son of Man came to give life and life more abundantly. Now you got life. Now you got life. Now we all got life because the harvest was greater than the seed. Abundance is your portion. Somebody give our God a praise in this place. Abundance is your portion. So God planted a seed from heaven so that we can have life. Come on, brother. And when we get to this moment, I want to speak these words over this church. I want to speak these words over you. Psalm 65:11 says this in the New King James Version. He says, you have crowned the year. You crowned the year with your goodness. Your carts overflow with plenty. All your paths drip with abundance in the New King James. Jesus got that drip. He crowned a year with his goodness. Kids, I don't know how your 2019 has been, but we're going to remove the crown the enemy put up there. And we're going to put the crown. He crowned a year with his goodness. David says, I was young and now I'm old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor the seed begging bread. He was convinced I would see the goodness of the Lord, the land of the living. Family, I'm not here just to preach a word that will stay here on Sunday. Why don't you go back and look at your family different? God crowned the year. Me and my wife was going through the scripture 2 years ago. I said, God, you crowned the year with your goodness. Your paths drip with abundance. I'm looking for abundance everywhere. When you recognize abundance, it's not about what you have. It's about how you use what you have. There was this story. This family, they wanted to be a blessing to somebody. They were empty nesters, and so they had a bedroom suit. And they said, you know, honey, the husband said, the wife said, honey, we never use this. She has brand new. You want to sell it? No, we should give it to somebody. They heard about this family at church, this single mother, where there was only one bed in the house, and it was a twin bed. So you only had one kid out of four kids that was sleeping on a bed. Sometimes, and most of the time, they were sleeping on floors, sleeping on couches, and things like that. And so they said, oh, let's give this bedroom suit to this woman. So they come to the house with the moving truck. And while they were packing up the bed, they remember they had another bed. So they give this woman two beds and a whole bedroom suit. She starts weeping. She said, my kids get a chance to sleep in their own bed. They haven't done this in 5 years. She said, one day I'll be able to do that. I'll be able to be generous to somebody. They said, you don't have to wait till you get more. Do it now. She said, what? They said, you got something that you can give to somebody. So she went and thinking, and she's realized, she says, oh, there's this lady that just had a baby, and I got this rocker. My children are outgrown that. Let me give her my rocker. She gave the woman her rocker, and the lady was weeping. And she said the same thing, one day, I'll be able to give something to somebody. And she said, no, today is your day. You got something you can give. When you recognize he's crowned the year with his goodness, and his paths drip with abundance. I'm never in lack. I'm never in lack. I might be looking the wrong place. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 10, it says that your barns will be filled and your vats will overflow. Everybody shout overflow.
Overflow.
Your vats will overflow. Family, that's where God wants to take you. He wants to bring you into a season of overflow. Overflow blesses on from the north, the south, the east, and the west. Malachi chapter 3, this is the last verse, I promise. Hopefully it's helping y'all. This is so much more than the tithe scripture. It has been abused. People have misused it. But the truth in it cannot be neglected. He says, bring the full tenth into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house. Test me. One time God said, test me. Test me in this. And says the Lord of armies, and see if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. And New King James said, you won't have room to receive it. And people play with this. I'm saying, listen, before I get to verse 11 and it talks about the curse, and before I talk about verse 9, how will a man rob God? No, look at verse 10. Start there and see how generous our God is. He's saying, test me at it. And watch when I pour out blessings. Understand when he says, I will open up the floodgates for the Jewish people to hear this. The only other time they understood the floodgates being open was when God flooded the earth with Noah. So when he said, I will open up the floodgates, he's saying, I will pour out something that will change the world that no man can control. God is saying, I want to pour out a blessing in your life that will change your world that no man can control. Family, this is the season God wants to move us in. That when it's overflowing you, remember the psalmist said, my cup overfloweth. When it's overflowing in you, you'll be glad to give to other people. Amen.
Amen.
And so we want to be a blessing to this church. We want to be a blessing to the pastors. When we say we want to be a blessing to this church, we came prepared. We're going to sow a seed. Our church is going to sow a seed into this church to celebrate 5 years. Of at least $500, we're going to sow a seed. We just want 100 for each year just to say, God, we love what God is doing here. We want you guys to further it, but not just to the church. But me and Sherelle sowing a seed into Pastor Edwin and Ariel Jones' life. And here's what I want to commission you to do. You sow a seed to this church to celebrate what God is doing. But also, don't be afraid. I cannot command you to do this. Don't twist my words. But if you're grateful for their sacrifice and their leadership, find a way to be a blessing. For some of you all, you might have the money. For some of you all, you might be able to cook a meal. For some of you all, you might be able to bring childcare. For some of you all, you might have an outfit. You might be able to do something. You might say, you know what, Ariel, that conference was so amazing. Go ahead and have yourself a spa day. Find a way to be a blessing to them. Because when you bless your leadership, it's biblical. When you bless your leadership, you're going to be blessed. They're not asking for this. He don't want me to do this. This is my friend. But I know what it meant when people did this for me. And so y'all be a blessing to them, be a blessing to this church. Amen. Why? Because when the blessings are so big in here, they can't help but go outside the four walls. Amen. Hampton and the seven cities are waiting to be changed through the bridge. Don't hold back what God is trying to open up. And let me pray for y'all. Father, we thank you so much for who you are. We thank you for this opportunity, Lord. We pray now, God, that you would do what only you can do in this church, through this church. God, I pray, Lord, that people will recognize that you are able, that you are their savior, that you are their provider, and Lord, that you love them dearly. God, I pray now, Lord, today that somebody's heart will be surrendered to you. We thank you, God. We honor you as our King. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Amen.